This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Milwaukee's dining scene is vibrant enough that it's tempting to always seek out the hot new establishment. And while new can be great, Lake Effect contributor Kyle Cherik says not to forget our dining heritage.
Kyle is a fan of restaurants both old and new, and he joins us in the studio now to explain what he's getting at.
I mean, this time of year, we've taken the occasion to talk about the changes in the dining scene and the new places and what's coming and trends and so forth. And it was really... Well, the conversation that we had off mic some time ago when Carl Rausch closed, and my heart was, you know, all wrapped up in sadness relative to childhood memories and what it meant. I mean, a 130-year legacy for the city and right downtown and so forth. And off of that conversation, I went back and with my wife, we made a list of all of the places that the next time we go out, we were going to choose to go to first, because if they went away... Again, we would say, well, were we waiting for a private invitation from the owner?
Why didn't we go?
And
because we chase the new. I mean, that's a very human thing.
Very human.
To chase, oh, it's the brand new hot thing. You know, let's go check that out.
Right.
But there are some wonderful... I mean, I hate to use the word legacy restaurants, but they kind of are.
I think that's an appropriate term. I mean, whether we talk about a Ristorante in the village of Wauwatosa, which opened up in 1989, and that really set Joe and Paul Bertolotta on their path. And, you know, I love the story that if it wasn't Joe DeRosa who owned the Chanceries, who basically advocated for them, the landlord at the time didn't want an Italian restaurant because he thought it would smell like garlic all the time. I mean, imagine now how many people they've employed, how many chefs they've trained, how much just real estate tax they've paid.
And how much good food they've served.
Yeah, what they've added to the hospitality industry. It all began there, and they almost didn't get the lease. But then you can go back to someone like Three Brothers, where, you know, it's been around from the 50s. And it's gotten a James Beard Award for an American classic, which is something that's woven into the fabric of the American dining culture. They got that award in 2002. It's a national award. If Three Brothers ever closed, Sandy D'Amato, who you've had on, I mean, when anybody asked him nationally, what's your favorite restaurant? He always said Three Brothers. It wasn't Sanford. It was Three Brothers. He said, you know, we go to Three Brothers, we go to Speed Queen, and we go to Beans and Barley. All of these are legacy restaurants, and I don't think we think of them in those terms. But Beans opened in the 70s. Polonaise opened in the 80s. Three Brothers opened in the 50s. You know, we've got this terrific dining heritage here. Even a more modest place like Mezzo's, the burger place over on the south side, that's the last vestige of a kind of a micro chain here in Milwaukee. But they opened up in 1934. And when you go into Mezzo's, you get the feeling that right about 1951, they set it in amber.
They said, this is perfect. We don't need to change it.
Yeah, but yeah. They're amazing burgers. And right across the street, so Mezzo's 70 years. Across the street is Leon's 50 years. And no offense to the Froyos of the world and what have you, but if I'm going to put my calories and my money behind a great custard experience, it's going to be one of the legacy names here in the city, right?
So what are some of the other restaurants? You mentioned Polonaise. You mentioned Three Brothers. What are some of the other places that people might have forgotten about, or if they're new to Milwaukee, they don't know about at all?
Right. So when we run down our list, so Kegel's, 1925, really started as a speakeasy soda counter, but five generations. Julian is still involved. He and his wife... friends of ours, and they make the potato pancakes the same way they've been made for, you know, 60, 70 years. And the carrot cake, which is exceptional. The Hassan Pfeffer, which, like, where else are you going to get that in the city? And it's the recipe that great-grandma had. My wife was talking about the carrot cake, and she said, well, why don't you just, you know, use a Cuisinart? And she's like, oh, we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't know where to put it. Like, that's not how we make the carrot cake. We slice all of these carrots by hand.
We grate them in,
exactly. Think of the Plaza, the cafe at the Plaza. The 1920s, it used to be a tea room, that space, because ladies weren't allowed to, they had to have tea separate from the rest of the guests. And in 1950s, it converted to that diner kind of aesthetic. And I mean,
one of my favorite places to go have breakfast.
The breakfast is amazing. Yes. One of the best
in
the city.
I bring people from out of town
there. Yeah. Yeah. And you go in and it's like a film set, you know? I mean, the same reason that people got attached to Downton Abbey was just to see how they lived and were served. Just go to the Plaza. It's, you know, it's.
I think of the Ambassador the same way.
Ambassador is a great example, a great example. And that's been revived and restored. But you walk into that lobby and it's the way
it's
that
Art
it was.
Art Deco spectacular.
Yeah, the light fixtures and the solid nickel and so on and so forth. So Bryant's 1934, America's first freestanding cocktail lounge. The Packing House, which was a Japanese-style hibachi bar way before Benihana, where the owner literally flew to Japan, recruited people, flew them back, and housed them so he could give this authentic experience. That burned down, and then Chris's parents bought it in the 70s, and it's been that ever since. I mean, you can't recreate the backstory of a great place like that. Jake's Deli, 1903, started as a butcher shop, changed into the deli in 1955. 5 o'clock Steakhouse, the history there. The Speed Queen, which started in 1956 as the Black King. She was competing with, actually, the Black King Barbecue, which was the barbecue place. And Giovanni's mom set up across the street to basically do a few items and more quickly, and that's where the name Speed Queen came from. I mean, it's superlative barbecue, and we can argue for hours about the best barbecue, but it's still great. That's Milwaukee history. That's heritage. The Jazz Estate at Random, and even places like Kaz's Mini Bowl. You know, I mean, if Kaz's ever closed, like, our kids have this experience of real pin setters. You go to Kaz's, it's magical. It's unlike anywhere else in the Midwest. Pandals, Elsa's even falls under that, Von Trier's. I mean, you can make an argument for a lot of places if you just put the 25-year mark, but there's another class that goes back 60, 70, some 100, you know. Mater's, 1902, for God's sake. I mean, it's just, they have a location. A lot of people don't realize this, but when you walk the streets of old Milwaukee, the Comfort was what Mater's was originally called. And then it transitioned into long about the 30s. So it's just a heritage. And because I'm so into dining and history, there are chefs, there are GMs, there are restaurateurs, there are managers, there are cooks, there are folks that move through the fabric of these restaurants, that got their start, that got inspired, that tripped into making the dining scene what it is now.
So the connection between the old and the new, you're saying, is a very strong one.
No question. No question. When I talk to the young Turk chefs, I guess, and I mean the ones that are opening up new places, the Dan Dans of the world, or the Birch and Butcher, or that kind of crowd, all of them, if I mention a Ristorante or a Kegel's or a Three Brothers or a Polonaise, their whole demeanor changes into something that's just soft and affectionate, and they know, you know, if not for that before me, I wouldn't be here. And many of them make a point of going themselves every month or two just because they understand what it means to add those dollars to the entire flow for the restaurant. And if one of those places slipped away, there'd be more heartbreak within the culture.
Are we in danger of losing any of those?
I don't know in particular. I think, you know, Ristorante is coming up on its 25th anniversary for the Bartolotas. Three Brothers were very good friends with that family, and I don't have any, you know, concern. I don't know of any imminence, but then again, we didn't expect it with Carl Rausch.
That happened very fast.
Very quickly, and that's part of the turn on the dime aspect of the restaurant culture. So I'm not saying don't go to the new places, because we need that energy. They're beloved. People are working very hard. But when you're thinking about where should we go, for many people, it's being a tourist in your own town, right? And you can't get better Polish cuisine than Polonaise. You can't get a better brunch than going to the Plaza. You can't get a better sort of supper club experience without a long, long drive than going to the Packing House. Kegels, you can't get the Hassenpfeffer
anywhere else.
These are the flavors of our heritage and our history, or even if it's just a novelty, go, and I guarantee you're going to find it delicious. And again, like I said about the frozen, you know, yogurt places popping up, I mean, look, when Paul Bartolotta brings famous chefs into Milwaukee, the first place he takes him is one of our custard stands. And that says everything. This is unique. This is our heritage. These are the flavors of who we are. So let's keep these places open, because it's part of our culinary tradition.
Well, you're going to give us a list, right? So
yes.
We can put it on the website
yes.
of the ones that you recommend. And then it would be great if people would say, well, what about this place?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't forget this place.
And that's just it. It's an emotional list. And I am by no means the authority, but I want it to be a springboard for people to think and add in and say on and so forth and realize, oh, I have deep memories there and the food's still good. So why shouldn't we go?
Well, let's go eat.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Kyle. Thanks so much, and we will talk again soon.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Kyle Cherik is host of Wisconsin Foodie on public television and a regular Lake Effect contributor. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.